Attention entrepreneurs and business owners. It's time to stop working so hard, start working smart, and build a business that stands on its own.
Generate real wealth, real freedom,
and a real legacy.
Now from New York City, small business champion and business attorney, helping thousands of entrepreneurs generate hundreds of millions of dollars. Here's Nina Kaufman, and this is the Cash Out Big Podcast.
Hey, how are you? Welcome to Cash Out Big, where we're sharing the tools to get your business running like a well-oiled machine. And that way, generate the wealth, freedom, and legacy you've always wanted. I'm your host, Nina Kaufman, coming to you from the heart of New York City, and I'm glad you're here today. Thanks for tuning in. Today on the show, I'm going to talk with entrepreneur Joe Applebaum about how he's scaling his digital marketing agency. And we're also going to look at what are some of those factors that are helping him lead one of the fastest growing companies in the United States. And the things he's doing in his company are the very things we also talk about in our Cash Out Big webinar, where, you know, you can take 30 days off and come back to a company that's still thriving, where it's about the business providing the service, not just you personally. And you can get to our webinar just by going to cashoutbigwebinar.com. I first met Joe through colleagues in EO, it's Entrepreneurs Organization. And what I love about Joe is his candor. He's not afraid to say where he procrastinated, where he got stuck, where he made the mistakes. And I know he's going to share that with us today as he talks about his vision to build his digital marketing agency, how he really codified his thinking to get out of his own way, and what's leading to his forthcoming book, From Average Joe to CEO, which will be out later this year. So we're delighted to have him here on Cash Out Big. Joe, thanks so much for being with us today.
It's my pleasure. I am so glad to be here. Thank you for having me, Nina.
Oh, you're very welcome. And one of the reasons, as I've told our listeners, that I really wanted you on is that you're making that, you've already made the transition from Average Joe to CEO, which is also going to be the title of your book, and really wanted to hear from a successful business owner. First, how did you step into that big thinking? Because I read somewhere that you started by saying, I want to generate $1 million and serve, what was it, 34,000 customers?
Yeah. So when I began, so for me, there were seven stages that I had to grow to get to where I am. And the first stage was fixing my beliefs, my mindset. I used to believe everything was up to luck, that, you know, some people are lucky and some people are just not lucky. There are lucky days and there are unlucky days. And I used to play the lottery a lot, and I used to be very into opportunity. I always used to sit down and dream, what will I do when I win the lottery? What are the things that I'm going to buy? And how much money am I going to give to charity? And who am I going to give some money to? And what are the investments that I'm going to make when I win those millions and millions of dollars at the lottery? And I literally would sit down and write, what are the things that I'm going to do? And those things really helped me, because when I did win the lottery, but I didn't win the lottery by winning the lotto. I won the lottery by overcoming my beliefs, by being able to overcome the failures in my life and move forward from them, by having a certain work ethic, a certain attitude, and learning the skills that I need to learn, having the experience, by overcoming my fears, by finally focusing, by building the right relationships, and then doing things on purpose, which allowed me to be able to achieve something that 96% of business owners in the United States can't do, which is build a multi-million dollar business.
Yes, you're absolutely right. So would you outline for us what those seven stages were? You started with first the beliefs, and then
Number one is you have beliefs. There are three core beliefs that small business owners have that they have to overcome and change their beliefs. Number one is luck, where they believe that everything's about luck and they try to get every single opportunity that comes to them, and they keep opening up businesses and have new ideas because they want to get lucky. They want that opportunity, and they say that luck, people shy away from luck when it looks like a pair of overalls and it looks like work. You know, people don't realize that that's what luck is. Luck is where opportunity meets preparation. You have to be prepared for when you strike lucky. You have to be prepared for when you find the right person, when you get on the right podcast, when the right person listens to you on that podcast. You have to know what you want to do. You have to know what you want to accomplish. You have to know what type of customers you want. When somebody says, how can I help you? Who can I refer you to? So having the mindset where everything's about luck and allowing that to drive you will not allow you. So that's number one, within beliefs. Number two within beliefs is trust. A lot of business owners have a trouble delegating, have trouble getting other people to do things for them. And I know that I've had trouble with this, and a lot of people that I hire have troubles with this, and a lot of other entrepreneurs that even ones that have made it that want to get to the next level have trouble delegating certain things. And you have to realize that this is something that has to do with belief, what you believe trust actually means. Some people think that trust is a guarantee that it's going to get done and guarantee that it's going to get done the right way. Well, trust is not a guarantee. Trust means that you trust that the person will make their best effort, and you have to be able to trust people, and you have to be able to guide them and have a system and a process so that you don't necessarily need to trust them to come up with the strategy or to come up with what we call common sense, right? Mm-hmm. For a lot of entrepreneurs, a strategy is common sense. How could you not know how to do it the right way? But the reality is, common sense is not common practice, and common folk don't have common sense. So that's why you need to be able to micromanage the process and not the people. I came up with that quote, and I was quoted on Inc.com alongside with Richard Branson and Steve Jobs and a bunch of other people. There were 25 people that they quoted, and one of them was me. And I was like, really?
Oh, fabulous.
They quoted me for that quote, which is micromanage the process, not the people. Mm-hmm. But I'm a really big believer in creating systems and processes in your business. And you mentioned, you know, people that are listening to this want to figure out how to build a scalable business that they can eventually sell. And it begins with having the right process and the right system, and then getting the right people into that process and system to sell the right product. And if you can do that and do that with a significant amount of profit, then you start having a certain value. And there are two different mindsets that people have. And I had learned this later in business. When they're launching their business, you could either have a business that's a lifestyle business or a business that you eventually want to stage to sell. And a lot of people don't realize that there's a very, very big fundamental difference between the two. If it's just a lifestyle business, then it's okay not trusting other people. If you're making enough money and you're doing it all yourself and it's just a job for you, that's fine. But if you eventually want to sell, you really have to think about delegation and finding other people that can do the core things for you. And that comes with having to trust other people, trust competitors, trust the government, trust people with your ideas. So that's a big thing within beliefs, stage one. And the third thing is change. Change is inevitable. Change is something that constantly happens. And if you're not changing, you're dying. If you're not changing, you're growing. If you're not changing and growing, then you are eventually going to be obsolete. Because, mm-hmm. you know, think about the technologies that we're using now that some people are just very uncomfortable using. And as a result, they make all these types of excuses that, oh, I can't have a business because I don't understand technology. Or I can't be in this or that because that's constantly changing. And, you know, what worked yesterday is not going to work today, and what works today is not going to work tomorrow. So you have to be prepared to overcome that. So I believe that within the seven stages, there are three categories. There's the mind, the body, and the soul. So the first two stages, which is beliefs and failures, being able to challenge your beliefs and then overcome your failures, that's all in the mind. And okay. You have to be able to constantly optimize your mind. And the mind of an entrepreneur is a very, very powerful mind, because everything that we do begins with a thought. Everything that we do begins with a dream. And eventually you make that thought into a habit by honing your body and doing the work, which is the third stage, doing the work, having the right attitude, having the right work ethic, understanding that you're not going to get rich quick. You're not going to find the way, the path. Like, I recently lost 75 pounds, and people say, Joe, how did you do it? Right. Did you get your stomach stapled? Did you use that new South Beach diet? And I say, I tried the seafood diet. I tried the get rich quick diet. All that stuff worked temporarily. But then eventually, when I went back to eating flour, sugar, potatoes, pasta, and rice, when I went back to being the couch potato and watching Netflix, I gained all the weight back.
Imagine
and
that.
So finally, I realized that it's about changing my philosophy and doing the work. And now I run every day, and I do 100 push-ups a day. And I make sure that I have one cheat day, but all the other days I'm very careful. And I don't eat sugar, and I don't eat flour, and I'm eating right. And I lost 75 pounds, and I was able to keep it off over the past several years. And I feel really energized and motivated. And people don't realize how much water plays a role into that. So body is super important. If you want to be the type of entrepreneur, like when I walk into a room with 100 executives at very, very successful companies, especially the ones that have made it themselves, the ones that have the tenacity to make it themselves, many of them, if not all of them, are physically fit. They all take their mind seriously and their body seriously. And it's something that I noticed, because I remember when I joined Entrepreneurs Organization, I walked in, I took a beer, I was eating something that was fattening, and I'm sitting there and I'm 75 pounds heavier than I am today. And I look around the room and I'm saying, these are all good looking, athletic people. Like, why are all these entrepreneurs athletic and I'm the only fat guy in the room? And then it dawned on me that entrepreneurs have to work on their mind, their body, and eventually their soul. So, you know, some people start with the soul and then eventually go to body and then mind. But, you know, I believe that a mindset is the most important thing. Mindset is more important than your skill set, because with the right mindset, you'll be able to pick up the right skill set. And the right skill set has to do with your body.
Right, right. And so let me just jump in for a minute. You alluded to a couple of failures. What were some of those that really put you onto a better path that you learned?
So for me, the greatest failure that I ever had was the first year that I was married. We really wanted to have a baby. And we tried very hard and we couldn't do it. And for me, my purpose in life is to have children. And we finally got pregnant. We were all happy. Everybody was happy. It was really great. And in the 9th month, we went to the hospital. And I write this in the second chapter of my book. And we had a stillbirth. The baby was the heartbeat stopped. And, you know, we lost our first child. And at that point, I got into a really, really bad depression. I took responsibility for it. I felt like, you know, I had no reason to live. I had no purpose. And this was such a great failure for me. Like I had a few businesses. I closed them down. I got rid of my employees. I said, life is not worth living. I'm not going to be successful. My marriage is not worth having. And just, I'm done. And it was me going out and finding a job where I could help somebody else. And I really didn't want a job because I never wanted a job. Like, I'm not the type of person that would ever take a job. But they really needed my help, and they took me as an employee with obviously the condition that I can do things on the side, because I was addicted to doing things on the side, and I knew that eventually I would have to, and they knew that, and I was like, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm not employable. And they said, that's fine with us, we need you to do this $100,000 implementation that nobody's able to do, and we know that you can figure it out because you have the type of work ethic and knowledge and reputation. So I was able to figure it out, and I was able to help them out, and that rejuvenized me and helped me be able to overcome myself by focusing and helping others. I was able to overcome my own failures. And in my own business, I've hired the wrong people, and I've picked up the wrong clients, and I've tried many things that I failed. But I would say the greatest failure was my in my own personal life, which affected my business, which affected my mindset, which affected my health, which affected all that. And for a long time, I wasn't able to overcome that. Eventually, when I found the energy and the strength by helping other people to have the resilience to overcome that failure, I was able to continue on, build a multi-million-dollar business, and now I just had my 5th child. So I'm really excited about that.
Wow. So really, it was helping others gave you the step up to help you help yourself.
Yeah. And sometimes what we need for ourselves, we need to help other people get those things. So in business, I always say, if you want to make money, help other people make money. Help other people make money. Add value to other people's lives and you will have more value in your life automatically. But people are so busy thinking that this world is not an abundant world, that there's scarcity and there's not enough for everybody. And they're busy living with that mindset, that belief that there's not enough and you have to get lucky. No, there's enough for everybody. There's abundance in this world. There's enough money. There's enough love. There's enough joy. There's enough gratitude. You have to go in there and tap into the abundance that the universe has. And you'll be able to get that ray of light and you'll be able to live your life in a better way, more productive, and you'll be able to bring those blessings into your life.
Wonderful. Well, it sounds like that's the third prong of, as you say, let's try that again. It sounds like that's the third prong.
The mind, the body and the soul. Yeah. So for me, it's like the first two, it's about the beliefs that you have, which is all in your mind, right? There's the failures that you overcome, which failures are all in your mind as well. Right? So those are the first two steps. The next three steps are all about your body, which is the work ethic, the focus, which is concentration, which really has to do with your body, which you really have to concentrate on doing the right things, doing them often, having the right partner, being able to focus on actually executing. So work ethic, focus, and then overcoming your fears, which I believe fear is something you have physically in your body. And, you know, you feel that thing in your body, and then you just have to do with your body. Just get your mind out of it. Just do it. And, you know, when I had this major fear of public speaking, and now I've spoken to over 10,000 people. I'm a certified Google trainer. I do seminars all over the country. And I used to literally be afraid. And people are like, how are you afraid of public speaking? And I write about that in the book. And yes, I was afraid, but I just had to do it. I had to just have my body do it. Forget about my mind. Get my mind out of it. My mind put it back into stage with the beliefs and with the failures and all that. But now it's just about the body. So the body can overcome a lot of fears by just doing it and getting used to it and having muscle memory and all that. So those are the three stages that have to do with body. And the last two are relationships and purpose, which is all about soul. A lot of people don't realize how important relationships are for your own emotional well-being, for your own soul. Relationships are what lasts at the end of the day. Relationships are what matters. Relationships is why we do everything that we do. Why do you want to make money? For my family, for my friends, for my community, for the relationships that I have. Why do I want to make an impact? Why do I want to mentor others? Why do I want to make a difference? Everything is about the relationship. Think about that. And then ultimately you have a purpose. And your purpose is why you do everything that you do. For me, it's my kids. And that's why when I had that failure, it was so devastating for me, because it really hit me in the most important part of my life. But if you know what your purpose are, what your purpose is, you'll get up every single day with new enthusiasm, with renewed energy, and you'll be able to take on all the challenges that get thrown your way. There's no challenge that God gives anybody that a person can't take on. You can take on the challenge. The question is, do you have the fortitude to do it? Are you living on purpose? Do you know what your values are? If you are not aware of your values and you're not living with intent and with purpose, then you're not going to have the strength to overcome the challenges that get thrown your way.
Wow, terrific. And so how are you putting all that into practice as you're continuing to grow your company?
For me, it's every single day it's a challenge. Every single day that I wake up, I need to do my morning routine, which means I need to make my bed, I need to weigh myself, I need to exercise, I need to do my smoothie, I need to pray, I need to meditate, I need to write, I need to read, I need to write. I need to do all the things that I do in the morning for me to prepare myself physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually for the day to come. And every day is a new day. So just because I had a good day yesterday doesn't mean I'm going to have a good day today.
Sure.
So every day is a new day, and every day you have to prepare for that day. You can't prepare today for the next 6 days. You need to prepare every single day. You get up in the morning, you need to prepare for that day. If you put your fire on warm in the morning, your fire will last the entire day. When I don't exercise in the morning, and I don't eat a healthy breakfast, and I don't show gratitude, and I don't pray, and I don't do the things that I need to do, my whole day is different. My whole day is different. And when I actually prepare, and it's not just a reactive day where I jump out of bed and I just start dealing with the emergencies, and I actually prepare, and I look at my calendar, and I huddle with my admin, and I huddle with my staff, and everybody knows what they need to do and when, and I have time to prepare for this podcast and prepare for the other things that I'm doing in the day, and I'm living proactively with intent, my entire day becomes different, and my goals are then actualized. You see, goals are very, very powerful, because when you set a goal and you write your goal down, that goal starts working for you even while you sleep. I was talking to an entrepreneur yesterday, and I said, what are your goals? And she gave me some vague answers. And I said, could we write down the goal now? And she's like, what am I going to write down? I was like, let's write something down, write anything down. So we wrote it down, and then we massaged it and spoke about it for about 10 minutes. And we pulled out an actionable goal, a goal that's specific, that's measurable, that's actionable, that has a timetable, a by when it's going to happen, very, very realistic as well. So we sat there and we looked at it and we're like, this looks realistic. You know when you want to do it by. You have a clear goal. And she's like clarity, like all the clouds left her brain. And she, you could see the way she changed her posture. Different person. Now all of a sudden she has a goal. Her subconscious has peace, because now it knows what it needs to do. See, the reason why a lot of entrepreneurs procrastinate is because they don't have clearly defined goals. And when you don't have clearly written, defined goals in your life, whether it's in all the roles of your life, I look at my life as like a bunch of roles. So I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a son, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a thought leader, I'm a mentor, I'm a board member. I have all these different roles that I have in my life, and I have goals for each role. Why am I doing it? What success looks like? What do I need to achieve in each role for that week, for that month, for that year, for the next 10 years? What do I want to achieve in each role? And I look at that and I say, is this something that I really want to be doing? Do I have clear goals? And if I don't, I'm just going to have fuzziness. So when you wake up and your inbox is cleared and your decks are cleared and you know what you need to be doing. And I don't check my email first thing when I wake up in the morning. A lot of people, the first thing they do is they sleep with their phone, right? They're sleeping with their, they're connected to their phone by their, my phone is charging in the basement. I put my phone in the basement to charge and I go upstairs to the second floor and go to sleep. Nice. I don't have my phone near me. My phone's off. And when I wake up, I don't look at my phone. I'll take my phone when I go for a run so that I can post pictures of myself on Instagram and inspire others. But I don't sleep with my phone. I used to sleep with my phone, but I gave up sleeping with my phone because I would check my phone in the middle of the night.
Oh, yeah. You know, and it's a really great point about having the clarity and goals, because very often people will use the word goals to just say like a wish list. And as a colleague of mine is fond of saying, hope is not a business plan.
Hope is a good thing, though. Hope is a good thing. It's just not a good. It's just not a good strategy.
Right. Exactly. So how did you come? You know, you and you have two other business owners with you. One is your brother. Is that right?
Yeah. So my brother started with us about a year into the business, a year and a half into the business. My partner. I met my partner at a company I was working at, and right away we hit it off, and we became best friends, and we worked together. And we loved working together, and we had very similar goals and very similar strengths. And we had a vision. We had a vision to build a digital marketing agency that helps businesses succeed. And we went out there. We wanted to build a multi-million dollar company. Our goal was to hit $1 million. Within 18 months of me starting to work full time, we hit $1 million in revenue, and we doubled again and doubled again. Hmm. And then we realized that we want to build a different type of business. We don't just want to build a business that doesn't have profit and that just churns and that's a transactional business. We wanted to have real deep relationships with our clients. And after servicing over 1,000 clients, you can't have a relationship with 1,000 people. It just doesn't work that way. So we just didn't want to keep churning clients and churning employees. So we completely changed our business around. In the past year, 2 years, we basically changed our business to be a B2B lead gen focused digital marketing agency. So we help companies that are B2B, specifically companies that spend hundreds of thousands of dollars a year in marketing or advertising, and we help them be able to achieve success. And we have just a couple dozen companies that we work with now, much, much higher level. So we 10x the retainers, 10x the type of service, 10x the type of employees, the training, everything that we do here. And we have a lot less moving parts, but we go much deeper with our clients. And everything is relationship-based now. So in terms of the value, the average value of our client is much higher. The value of our employees is much higher. We have a lot less. We used to have 75 full-time employees. Wow. Now we have 20 full-time employees, but our employees are getting paid much more and they're much higher end.
That's wonderful. Wonderful. And also, what are you doing to ensure that, again, that you don't keep getting pulled into the weeds and the details and you can stay at a more strategic level?
A client recently was speaking to my brother, which runs our operations, and he's like, I want Joe. I want the guy who does the podcast on CEOMojo.com. I want the speaker that speaks on growtime.tv. I want that Joe. I want the guy who sends out emails every week and is published on Forbes and on Inc. I want him to be on my account. And so my brother comes over to me and says, Joe, he wants to know how many hours you're going to be putting into his account every month. And I look at my brother and I said, according to our proposal, zero. I'm not putting any hours into his account. According to my relationship with him, I'll put all my time into the account if he's the right account. I'll put all my time into it. Mm-hmm. But in the proposal, you're not paying to work with Joe Applebaum. You're paying to work with Ajax Union. Because if you want me to do the work, you're going to get work that is not as great as getting our team that is much better trained than me, that's actually doing the work every day with clients. Do you want the person who knows how to speak very well and that's out there doing seminars, doing your work? Or do you want the person who is the Facebook marketing expert or the foremost, the best PPC guy around or the marketing automation expert that can get down and dirty and get it done to do the work? You tell me who you want to do the work. The person who's a good schmoozer and can have a good conversation with you and can make you feel good, or the person that's actually going to make your business start printing money? Tell me which one you want. And every single time, hands down, they say, I want your employees to do the work. Because I find employees that know marketing better than I do. Maybe they can't articulate it as well as I can, but they can do the work 10 times better than I can.
You know, and that's wonderful. That kind of goes back to the issue of trust, which is trusting the people to do the work, trusting that you're choosing the right people, and feeling confident that, yeah, I'm not the smartest person in the room when it comes to PPC or other aspects of digital marketing, and that's okay. that you can
and that's okay.
A company and not be threatened by their knowledge in that particular area.
And guess what? If you are smarter than your employees, train them better. Pay them to get trained. I train all my employees. We spend tens of thousands of dollars a year on training our employees. And I heard a story. The CFO once asked the CEO, what if we train all our employees and we spend thousands of dollars training them and then they all leave because now they're super qualified? The CEO looks at him and is like, what if we don't train them and they stay? It's a famous story, but it brings to light the importance of training your employees. If you have a sales team and you're not training your sales team, if you're not going to websites like Gittimer.com, you know, Jeffrey Gittimer, I don't know if you ever heard of him. He's an amazing author. He wrote 14 best-selling books. If you're not using his academy to train your sales reps or another academy, if you're not out there training your people, then they suck. People suck automatically if they don't get trained. Babies suck. Babies suck on all types of things. They suck on keys. They suck on lollipops.
Yes.
Do you want your employees to suck or do you want your place to be amazing? Our vision, the Ajax Union 2016 vision, is to have amazing clients, amazing employees, to be an amazing company. And amazing means that we train our employees to be amazing. Mm-hmm. We create systems and processes around all the things that we want to be amazing, everything from onboarding to pre-sales to qualifying clients to reporting to showing return on investment. All those things are systems and processes that our amazing employees get trained on so that they can be amazing. Because you can have the guy with the most skills. If they have a crappy attitude, it's not going to work. It's not going to be amazing, but you get a guy with an amazing attitude or you get a gal with an incredibly amazing attitude and then you teach them and you train them, you have a rock star because they have the good attitude. You can't teach attitude, but you can teach skill.
Right. When they say hire for attitude, not aptitude.
Correct.
Yes, exactly. So in terms of your systems and processes, just as we wrap, are these things that you're creating top down or are you co-creating with the employees? How does that work in your company?
Systems and processes get created, co-created with our entire company. Everybody, anyone that needs to touch that process, if it's a pre-sales process, all the people involved at pre-sales are involved with the process, and it's us creating it together. And it starts with a checklist. A lot of people think, oh, how do I create a process? It's very simple. Have a checklist. That's a process. Then you can get into the details and the meat and potatoes of the checklist, how you actually execute each item on the checklist. But start with a simple checklist. When you're onboarding a new employee, what are the 17 things that need to get done? Is that written down on a checklist? Chances are, if I know you and I know thousands of business owners out there, they do not have a checklist for onboarding a new employee. And they hire a new employee on average every quarter, every 6 months because they have churn or because they're growing. And they don't have a process for it. It's embarrassing. But you know what? They don't. You don't have a new client questionnaire. New clients that keep asking the same questions. You don't have one. You need to create one. That's a process. It's creating a process. And yes, whoever's involved gets to it. I'm the one that's pushing to create the processes. I'm the one that's also reviewing because ultimately the strategy for this business, that's mostly on me. I'm the one that's driving, working on the business. Everybody else is working in the business. I'm working on the business. So I'm the one that's marketing. I'm the one that's recruiting. I'm the one that's working with new customers to try to make it rain together with some other people here. That's what the partners need to do. The partners need to do that. I struggled for a long time to figure out what does a CEO do? Because I can do everything. I can take out the trash. I can dance. I can motivate. I can do the work. I can do any of this stuff. I can do stand-up comedy like me and you. You know, we can do stand-up comedy together. I recently took a stand-up comedy class to get out of my comfort zone. And let me tell you, wow, the amount of preparation it takes to
do a
five-minute skit, it took me 6 weeks.
Absolutely.
So it's just incredible, incredible the amount of work it takes. But if you're not prepared, you're not going to be ready. And if you're not ready, then your competitors are willing, able, and ready. So make sure that you're ready. Prepare. Have the right systems. Have the right processes. Get the right people. And when you get the right people, make sure you train them the right way. And ultimately, if you do that, you'll be able to have a sellable, scalable business, and you'll be able to take your life and your business to the next level.
Wonderful. Joe, tell us, when is the book and where is the book going to be available?
If you go to joeapfelbaum.com, you'll be able to see more information about when the book's going to be available. Probably at the end of this year, we're going to work on having a published date. It's in editing now, and really, I worked really hard putting it together. I remember my last birthday in November last year. I sat down for 20 days and wrote 40,000 words in 20 days. I would get up at 4 a.m. and just literally plow through doing 2,000 words a day. I did it for 20 days. That was draft one. Then draft two was brutal, and draft three was brutal. So now it's in editing. Probably going to take a couple weeks, probably till the end of October. By November, we'll have a published date, and then I'll decide if I want to have it do it through an agent or self-publish or whatever. But I'm really excited about coming out with this, talking a lot about this. And I know that I'm going to be able to help impact millions of entrepreneurs that are going to hear my story, hear the message of how I went from average Joe to CEO. I went from not knowing anything about business. I was a marketing expert. I was an IT expert, but I knew nothing about building a company. Mm-hmm. To being able to build a company and mentor hundreds of people to help them be able to build their own companies.
Wonderful. Well, from average Joe to CEO Joe Applebaum, thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure. We'll be in touch.
And thank you for tuning in to Cash Out Big. Can you take 30 days off and come back to a business that's still thriving? If not, we want to get you out of the rut by giving you access to one of our special video trainings, the Cash Out Big webinar. We share our action-packed scale formula so you can create the wealth, the freedom, and the legacy you've always wanted. Sign up at cashoutbigwebinar.com. Again, that's cashoutbigwebinar.com. Sign up there now, and we'll see you on the next podcast.